I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which this recording takes place, the Gubbi Gubbi people of Southeast Queensland. I honour their continuing connection to land, sea and sky, as well as their elders, past, present and emerging. Hey there, welcome back to the Men, Sex and Pleasure podcast. I'm your host, Cam Fraser. This is episode number 206. Talking all things masculinity, sexuality, male bodies, and men's experiences of pleasure. And on today's episode, I have the pleasure of welcoming back Tyson Adams. Tyson is a trauma-informed IFS men's coach, somatic body worker, and psychedelic facilitator. After spending 20 years addicted to pornography, he outgrew it 7 years ago and has found his passion and purpose in helping other men master their life force energy. He also co-facilitates men's work leadership intensives and works with couples experiencing intimacy challenges. When he's not working, you'll catch him on a rock wall or riding a slackline in sunny San Diego. And in this episode, like I said, I welcome back Tyson. He has joined me before and we've talked about pornography and different ways of using it. And we agree on some things and disagree on others. So if you're interested in going and watching or listening to that episode, you can kind of catch up and get up to speed about where we start this particular conversation, where we talk about mindful masturbation for more pleasure, for more connection with our own bodies, and by proxy also for more connection with our partners. But this is really mindful masturbation for mindful masturbation's sake, self-pleasure for self-pleasure's sake. And we go into some really practical tips and strategies. We share our own practices as well as the practices that we help our clients cultivate for themselves. And it's a really, it's a continuation of the first conversation that we had. But as a standalone episode, it'll give you a lot of practical advice for developing and cultivating your own mindful masturbation practice, if that is something that is of interest to you. So it's really lovely to connect with Tyson again, and specifically about a topic that we're both really passionate about. So super enjoyable for me, and I hope you enjoy listening. It's good to welcome you back, Tyson. I'm excited to have another chat with you, mate. I really enjoyed our talk last time, and I enjoyed you and your philosophies and your approach to the work. So I'm excited to dive back in. You know, typically I ask, who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about? That's my three go-to questions at the beginning of the podcast. If people want to know those things, they can go back and listen to our first episode, I suppose, which is all about pornography. And, you know, I play a little bit of devil's advocate in that conversation. And I think where I want to go with you today, and what I think might be really helpful for the people listening, is, you know, going from a place of here's like all the conversations and the nuance around pornography and some of the reasons why it's detrimental and why, you know, consuming it without a lot of intentionality or mindfulness can be, you know, negatively impactful on your sexuality and your sexual journey. And where I think it might be helpful for us to go today is, you know, well, how can we self-pleasure and masturbate and explore eroticism in a way that is really intentional and really mindful and give some really practical tools for doing that. That's what I'm hopeful for today, man. And so I guess I wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, if you'd like to reintroduce yourself, or if there's anything else that you're wanting to share about your work at the moment that you think is really relevant and pertinent to our conversation today, I wanted to just, you know, throw the ball over to you and welcome you back.
All right. Thanks, Cam. Yeah, so I'm trained as an IFS therapist. So for those who don't know, that's internal family systems therapy. But I run several men's leadership containers, and I specialize in pornography and sex addiction. But I also do psychedelic facilitation. I do body work. And, you know, like I'm a pretty active guy. I'm a climber, surfer, you know, I'm a California guy, you know. So I how do I say this? I live in this sort of hippie like sort of vibes and the Eastern sort of spirituality vibes here in Northern San Diego, but I'm very grounded and rooted in like actual depth psychology. So that's kind of where I come from.
Lovely, man. And I'm excited to dive into this with you because, you know, something you said to me before, which I think I like the turn of phrase, was like having a North Star with regards to, you know, guys heading in a direction where they're mindfully masturbating and they're exploring their body and their sexuality in a way that's really benefiting them. And so I wanted to ask you then, you know, what does the term mindful masturbation mean to you?
So the way I kind of describe this is I actually paint a little bit of a picture. So imagine you're driving up to, let's say, a drive-through, like it's a McDonald's drive-through. If you're just going to eat a hamburger, that's like pulling up a Pornhub when you're just in a reactive state and you roll down the window and you're just, okay, I want to watch this porn, and you order the hamburger and now you're in line and you're waiting, and then all of a sudden they open the window and you transact and you give them your card and they give you the food and you pull over and you just cram this burger down your face and you're done with it, right? And you feel good for a few minutes, but shortly thereafter you feel a little shitty. And so I would say, like, in my experience, that's a more mindless way of doing, your sexual journey or being with masturbation. So when I say mindful, what I basically mean is what does it look like to go to the store, go get organic ingredients or nice grass-fed piece of meat or whatever, go home and actually make something that's beautiful. Make it intentional, make it prayerful, eat it with intention, eat it slowly, and really have an experience that like satiates you instead of one that you need to go back and have another burger or go back and have another milkshake, right? So the point more so is when I say mindless to mindful masturbation and making that jump, I don't judge that this way of doing it is wrong or bad or unethical or any of those things, but it's just to say this one over here is a lot better and it's a lot more satiating. And so most men, when they're just doing the McDonald's drive-through, they're thinking their way to orgasm through the pornography experience versus feeling their way to orgasm, which would be a more mindful way to go about the process. So the way that I kind of describe this is this over here, for the most part, the way that men relate to it, and women too, but a lot of people, is to feel better when they're sad or sick or bored or angry or feeling anything that they don't want to feel. They'll just go reactively rub one out. Again, nothing wrong with it, but over here we're moving towards from feeling better to better feeling, right? If you're doing it mindfully, then you're learning how to feel your entire system. You're treating your entire body as an erotic zone, not just your cock, and you're actually incorporating and ultimately you're becoming more intentional with your entire life, because the way that you show up to your own sexual practice then bleeds over into the intentionality that you put into everything, whether it's a conversation or your business or whatever you're doing. So I'll pause there because I want your reflections on that, but then I want to take you into this other way of relating to it that I sort of the way that I teach it.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to reflect, because you know what's what I because I want to ask you a question about this and see what your thoughts are. Because whenever I hear the food analogy, specifically like drive-through kind of junk food as being used as an analogy, I automatically think to like socioeconomic issues and systemic factors that lead people to if we're thinking about food specifically there, like why are people buying junk food, right? Well, partly because it's much, much cheaper than, organic, whole foods, right? It also is much, much more convenient and quicker than spending time cooking and making sure you've got the right pots and pans and maybe having to follow a recipe and, have a kitchen that works, with gas and electricity and all that sort of stuff, right? So that's where my head like goes whenever I hear that analogy. And I never really like go deeper into it, but I feel like you'd be a good person to do this with. It's like if we extend that analogy back the other way to sex, right? And that mindless drive-through style way of jumping on Pornhub and masturbating compared to cooking a meal at home and being really mindful with your self-pleasure practice, your mindful masturbation practice, because I recognize that the like I we can talk about food, but that's not necessarily what I want to speak about. What I guess I'm like curious about is, are there things that are impacting men's lives which they're unable to control, for the most part, that are impacting their inability to have a mindful masturbation practice, So like one thing that pops up for me immediately, I suppose, is like, time, right? So it takes, mindful masturbation practice, as you have kind of described and as I agree with, is like it's a bit of effort, right? And you take a little bit longer and you explore your body in a way that isn't just jerking off as quickly as possible to get to the end goal. And one of the things that I come up against when I'm working with guys, particularly new fathers, for example, is like, I don't have a lot of time, man, to do that. Or if they've got a couple of kids and it's like, man, I'm working, I'm coming home, I've got a couple of kids, like the time allocation piece for me is quite, it's quite difficult. And so like that's a systemic factor, right? It's like the thing that's stopping them from actually being able to implement as much as they would like that self-pleasure practice, that mindful masturbation practice. You know, so I'm curious if you see any other things that are inhibiting men's capacity to develop a mindful masturbation practice that kind of come from outside, not just like, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of men will say, I don't have the privacy that I want to, especially if they're, for example, in college and they have roommates or they have other things. Or they, you know, because mindful masturbation, if we're moving into using your voice and actually being loud, that can actually, you know, that could be something that, do you even want your partner to know? Or do you want anybody to know that you're doing that, right? So there's a secrecy, silence, and shame aspect to the way in which men mostly masturbate and therefore opening up. There are time-related things. There's obviously noise-related things. And then obviously the space to do so, like meaning, do you actually have that actual place? Because the way that I teach it is to actually create your own sacred container, right? To actually create your own like altar, to have your own space that you go to. And that doesn't mean that you can't have the dark masculine in that space and to actually evoke and have more of a explorative sort of erotic kind of supercharged experience. But it also could mean, hey, there's this place that I go when I'm going to do this thing. And it might be sensual and sensitive and more in the feminine, or it might be more in the masculine. So, you know, some people will say, well, I don't have a space in my house that I can do that. Like, I don't have an environment where I can set that up, right? So there are obviously things that people come up against and why that they can't set up a mindful, you know, place to do so, or the time and energy to do so.
Yeah, thanks for speaking into that, man. That was definitely more so what I wanted to ask you about. So that's, I'm cool that, you know, it's cool that you have some awareness around that as well, because that's something that I notice when I have clients in specific like life circumstances. Even like guys that have mobility issues and stuff, you know, like I'm asking them to do a particular practice. They're like, I literally cannot do that. Like I'm injured, or I literally have a disability. Like I can't actually do that particular practice. So yeah, I'm glad that there's an awareness there, man. And, you know, I'll say as well, like I love the idea of having my own altar. I have a 2.5, almost 3-year-old, and he has full reign over the house. If I set up anything, man, that shit's getting pulled down, you know, like immediately. You know, as soon as anything new goes into the house, he's all over it. He's pulling open cupboards. He's, you know, I don't know how much I should share about this on social media, because people will get up in arms about it. But I have like obviously a shelf full of sex toys, because I'm a sex toy ambassador, and so people send me toys all the time. And my son, they're all within reaching height of him, right? Like it's impossible to have everything up on a top shelf because I have so much stuff, and so he's able to like pull things off, and so he's, you know, throwing around, you know, wands and things like that. But you know, there's no shame in this house, which is, you know, fine. But like, you know, the practicalities of me setting up an altar with the things that I'd like to put on there is I would have to set it up and put it down whenever I wanted to do it. I couldn't just have it, you know, left out. So obviously, you know, there's a resistance there, which is like for me personally to set it up. But then the workaround is like, I'll just, you know, I'll set it up and pack it down each time I need to use it, right?
Yeah. And when I say an altar, I just mean it can just be a meditation cushion on the ground with, like, let's say, you know, a sheepskin and just something that's comfortable. And it doesn't have to be some big feminine altar like what you see with a lot of women in the way that they do their pleasure practices. I didn't actually even have one for a really long time. But then as I did set it up, I realized, oh, this is where I go. And this feels good. It feels generative for me. I live alone, so I don't necessarily have to worry about that. But I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, beautiful, man.
And then the orientation that I basically give men, and the orientation is, how do we keep it out of the culty cult weeds is kind of the way I say it, which means how do we not give somebody a prescription that they're trying to follow and then wondering, am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? Or how do we keep it out of the weeds of this is weird and I'm just like, this feels like some culty weird thing or religious thing, right? So for me, what I basically say is I just call it masturbation as a death practice. And so the basically the inquiry is if this were the last time you were going to masturbate and you knew you were going to die tomorrow and you wanted to do it with intention, how would you do it differently than the way that you're currently doing it? Mm-hmm. And then just sit with that. And you sit with it in meditation and or in prayer and or with a journal, and you just begin the process of figuring out what would it actually look like to do this more mindfully. And that might be that you still include pornography, who knows? But the point more so is just to say, if you were going to end this, would you be racing the way that you normally do? Would it be this secrecy, silence, and shame where you just get in and get out in 5 minutes? And as people sit with that, they begin to, this happened with me because I had that question. This came to me in a psychedelic state. So then I started to develop it after that. But now that I've coached a couple hundred men and helped them to build their own practices, what I'm noticing is as I'm chatting with them about this, it's like understanding that there's ambiance, right? So what is it that I want my room to be like? Do I want to just have it all messy and shitty, or do I want to clean it up? What are the other things that I might want to include, from toys to clothing to music to smells to candles to mirrors to massage guns to full body massage, right? What would it look like to extend that and to stay in it a little bit longer? And then what would it look like to actually, when you do have your climax, to allow yourself to have it instead of just having it and then just carrying on with your life, either going rolling over and going to sleep? But what would it look like to actually sit in that energy and or meditate in that energy at the end of it, so that you satiate more so that you're not going back to the wishing well as often, so that you're elongating the space between when you do it, so that you're not constantly going to it, because we get depleted if we just continuously do it day in and day out all the time. And so as I've coached a lot of men in this, what I find is that men are exploring things that even I don't explore, and they're doing it in certain locations and places and ways where they're gaining a lot of value because they're taking the idea and they're rolling with it. And I'll pause there because I want your reflections before I tell you about my own practice, because my own practice is a deeper conversation, but I just want you to reflect and or, poke holes in this idea because it's working, but I also want your lens because you have a unique lens and you obviously see things that I don't see.
Well, I actually really love that practice. There's no holes for me to poke in that, in as far as I can tell, man. I really love the idea of not being prescriptive with the practice. I often give a little bit of structure to some of the guys that I work with because they kind of go, what the fuck do you want me to do? I have no idea. Like, where do I start? So I'll give them a couple of little things to get them through the door. And then I'll say, and now the ball's in your court. Like, really start to explore, what feels good for you, right? Like, I use pleasure and positivity as the guide for my practice. So it's like, what is feeling good for you? Where's their pleasure coming from? And can you start to explore and be curious a bit more about that? And very similar to yourself, man, I have guys that'll go in completely different directions than I would go in my own personal practice, than I maybe even would have thought. I get a lot of inspiration from my clients who go and do something and then come and report back to me and be like, man, I did this and it was so amazing and so like pleasurable. And I was like, I would have never have thought to suggest that to you as a, practice. So amazing that you landed on that. And I'll ask them, do you mind if I like add that to my repertoire of things that I can possibly suggest to future clients as well? Because I think there's a lot of value in that. So I let my clients be inspirational to me as well, because they do come up with some really beautiful things when they've been given that permission slip to start exploring and be curious and pursue their pleasure in a way that's helpful and healthy for them. So yeah, so 100% on board with it, man. And yeah, totally resonating, and would love to hear about your personal practice if it's a bit of a deeper conversation.
Sure. Yeah. So the way that this came to me is I was in a 20-year porn addiction. And when I say addiction, I mean, I just couldn't stop. So I don't have judgment on that, but I just was habitually doing it day in and day out. The reason why I stopped was because my bladder blew out. I had an interstitial bladder cystitis. So I had pins and needles through my urethra and so on and so forth. It was unbelievably excruciating. It was frightening. I was peeing like 30 times a day. So that was the first time I had that I did 30 days of no porn and no masturbation. And this is well before it was trending and NoFap and all that whole shit. This is close to 9 years ago, right? So I was just living in the jungle. I had a coffee roaster in a cafe. I lived in Laos of all places. And when I was there, I decided to take 30 days off. And when I came out of that 30-day process, there was a full moon. And I'm not sure if I shared this on the last podcast. Did I share this story already? Or
we go a bit deeper into your journey on that previous podcast. Yeah.
We do. Okay. Yeah. So in that experience though, I just remember thinking to myself, can I actually orgasm without thinking my way to it? Because I didn't actually know I could, because I'd always either used porn or been with somebody or I used my own fantasies. So what I did was I got up out of my hammock and I just went to the rail and I just stared at the moon. And I actually just started channeling with the moon, with the energies, and just allowing the energy to move. And I just had my eyes open. And I had, now as I reflect on it, my first like full body orgasm, going from like a chew to like, whoa, like where my whole energy fractaled out. And of course, it had been 30 days since I'd masturbated, which is the longest I'd ever gone in my life. So I had a lot of energy that built up. But I share that in the context of that opened me up to, oh my gosh, I can actually have sexual pleasure without needing to think about anything, in order to feel my way into the experience. And so a lot of men don't even realize that that's possible. And I didn't know that it was possible. And it was just an idea that I had. So when I think about my own experience, it's not to say that I don't use fantasy. I think I have a partner. So it's not to say that I don't go there. But at the same time, I think it's important to let men know that they don't actually always have to if they don't want to. They can explore just what is the felt sense of the experience of having pleasure and being an orgasmic being without needing to go to a particular thing. And so a lot of men's, at least from what the men that I've coached, a lot of their men, like their penis literally will not get hard because the visual cortex is so connected to to their penis. And so they have to think about something or look at something. And so I just want to like acknowledge that most men don't even talk about this. And it's like something that we don't really explore too often.
Yeah, so and I think there's, well, I think Tyson, there's like a very strong narrative. And I've heard people say this over and over again, that men are visual creatures, right? And I push back against that every time I hear it, because I don't think, even the literature doesn't even agree with it, like that statement. So it's a very strong stereotype. And so I appreciate what you're sharing here, because a lot of guys, you know, will maybe unconsciously adhere to that stereotype and go, well, I need some sort of visual stimuli to get off. That's just what I am. I'm a visual creature, you know? And so like there's this playing into that particular narrative, and that becomes this limiting belief, right? It becomes this limitation they put on their own experience. So yeah, I'm a big advocate for, removing external stimuli. And one of the like, and we kind of spoke about this a little bit before, is like, rather than just going, okay, don't do this anymore, and actually giving guys some strategies for moving forward, one of the things that I like to do as part of that like stepping stone process is getting guys to do some self-pleasuring in front of a mirror and starting to like, you know, feel aroused by their own body and by their own, like still obviously a visual cue, and they're still getting that kind of visual feedback, but it's not of anything necessarily external per se. It's like of their own body. So I find it a good intermediary on that pathway towards only being experiencing in that particular session, like physical sensation and just like their feelings. So yeah, I'm curious if you use mirror work in your practice.
I do. And before I jump to the mirror work, I just want to say that for men that are wanting to move out of the visual stuff because they, for whatever reason, they're like, hey, I want to move into the felt sense, I found that audio pornography is a really good transition, especially where for men that are on super hardcore porn. And there's a there's one called 100 to 1 countdown where women don't say anything, they just count. They just start at 100, or men, there's men and women, they just start at 100 and they just count down. And as they reach, you know, zero, then that's when they orgasm. And I actually use that for men that have premature ejaculation issues. And I would say, do 2 or 3 rounds of going all the way down and feeling all that arousal building. And that is really helpful for men to kind of elongate their ability to last longer in bed with the audio.
Yeah, I do something similar with some of my clients as well, is give them like JOI instructional videos that are, you know, tailored towards what it is that they're specifically aroused by as well. So I got some guys that are interested in more of like a audio that is a bit more like with a dominant woman in his ear. Others, they're looking for something that's a bit more like affectionate and affirming, particularly for the guys that are maybe, I work with some guys that are, you know, they're fat or they've got like a shorter penis. And so they've never really had words of affirmation, that positive feedback from their partners. And so to have like an audio that does that for them and is like encouraging is like profoundly healing for them. And it's also instructional in the sense of like, okay, you know, we're building up. And then, you know, they can run through that as a way of measuring.
Did you have a woman that recorded that for you?
No, I found them online. So I've just found independent and then, creators. And then I share those audios. They're all the ones that I'll share are either free, or if there's specific paid ones, I'll say, look, this is a paid one, but I think it would be worthwhile investing in it. But I would love to hire someone. I'd love to work collaboratively with someone to create
There's a woman that I'm going to work with that wants to do some of this work with me because she already makes them. She's made hundreds of them. And so I'm going to kind of collaborate with her to create scripts. Nice. And I like that idea of having different styles, different types for different types of men. Because we, you know, the archetypes of different men and what they're aroused by is like so vast. So I can totally see how that would be helpful. Circling back to your mirror work, actually, before we get to the mirror work, because I want to move into that, I just want to give you some context of how my 3 years of celibacy went, because I decided that I was going to do chosen celibacy, and basically my mindful masturbation practice and ritual kind of grew out of that space. And basically I was kind of committed to I'm going to not swipe anymore. I'm not gonna like go up and talk. I'm just gonna allow myself to be in the world and let the universe bring her to me when we're both ready. And so I just kind of stayed surrendered into that. And basically I built a practice around on the full moon cycle. I started paying attention to my actual system and I started to notice like, oh, when the full moon comes, I'm more aroused than normal. Interesting. So I just started to do once a month release. And so what I would basically do is, of course, I'm self-employed and I have the flexibility to set my calendar how I do. Again, not every man can do that. But when it would come to that day, I would just completely cancel out everything that I was doing other than my practice. So wake up early, candle meditation, you know, do my prayer. I would go to the ocean, jump in. I'd maybe go to a float tank, get a massage. Maybe I would microdose. I would slackline. I would be embodied. I would journal and I would eat really healthy. And I would basically stay out of the dialogue of interfacing with other people and just really hone it in. And then when I would get to the actual evening and it would get time for that, then I would build that into sometimes a 2 to 3 hour process. And that process was a lot of self-massage. As I mentioned with massage guns, we can talk about that in a bit. And it really just kind of developed over time to a place where I was working with the mirror almost all the time. It was either under the moon channeling, or sometimes during this, I would do it. There was a period in there where I was doing on the new moon, and that was more under the sun, kind of doing outdoor practices. But mainly it was on the full moon in the comfort of my own home with the mirror and working with the mirror, sitting straight spined and learning how my body works, right? One of the things that I found the most fascinating in my journey, and especially integrating psychedelics into my practices. So ayahuasca, DMT, MDMA, acid, mushrooms, ketamine, MDMA, like 2CB. I've pretty much explored my own sexual masturbation practices on a number of different medicines to see what shows up and what energies am I playing with and what is there to learn about myself, along with, you know, obviously anal play and prostate massagers is a way to like figure out what's happening. Like what's going on in my body? What are my energetic centers? What does edging really look like? How does it feel? And one of the things that I learned in this process is that I had a lot of energetic gunk in my own system that no longer served me. It was like, oh my gosh, there's all of those memories. There's all that pornography that didn't feel good in my system from when I was younger. I don't want this here. I feel yucky. And so I began this process of what I call torching karma. And so this is a process where you basically just masturbate, but then you're actually squeezing the perineum and you're bringing that energy up and then you're opening the throat and releasing it. So you can kind of do breath work with it where you're and that's obviously a lot faster. You can obviously slow it way down and you could do vagal toning too, either with, you know, with their teeth together or just voo. And through the vagal toning, I was able to see the memories in my mind of past partners and pornography and stuff. And I was able to actually bucket that energy out. So now that the memories still exist, that those things happened, but I wasn't stuck with the erotic charge of all of that information. And also in this process of, you know, doing a lot of psychedelic work and watching pornography, I started to realize like, oh, yes, I'm watching pornography, but I'm also in some level absorbing some of the frequencies that are from the people that I'm looking at. And of course, if you're looking at porn that's tasteful, there's not really a lot there that you have to be too worried about. But some of the porn that I was looking at was like kind of gnarly, right? And some of my relationships were very much trauma bonds. Some of them were very unsafe. So as I started doing this over the course of a year, I started to realize like, oh wow, I'm cleaning my system. Like I'm actually letting go of the things that are necessary so that I can come back in. So I'll pause there because that's just a piece of it before I go into what it looked like as it turned the kind of turned the dial. But I want to get your reflections on that. Like, have you instructed men in clearing their systems and how do you go about that? And what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I wanted to share that I had a very similar experience. I wasn't celibate. I was with my partner at the time. In fact, this is part of our conscious conception journey that we went on. But I had a full moon practice with my ejaculation as well. And at the time I was like going into like, I had reservations about my time as a yoga teacher and going to India and going to Southeast Asia because it didn't feel super authentic to me because I'm not Indian or Southeast Asian or a practicing Hindu. And, you know, I was like, what's my ancestry? What's my lineage? And it's the Celts, right? I'm Scottish, and, you know, the Druidic, you know, sex magic tradition is like kind of what I was starting to practice. And so there's, you know, some books that are about, you know, Druidic and Celtic sex magic. And so I started doing like full moon rituals with, you know, and I'd have some, you know, specific, you know, filtered water there that I was charging up under the full moon. And it was something that I would do as part of an anointing practice with my body. And it was all nature-based, because I was, it kind of had to be, because I was living in a bus at the time with my now wife. And so we didn't have space to do it indoors. So it was always at night in the bush. And this is during COVID as well. This is several years ago now. So it was out in a place called Margaret River. For those of you that are familiar with Western Australian geography, you'll probably, you know, be familiar with the Margaret River area. But it was a lovely time. And I probably did that we went on a conscious conception journey for about a year prior to us trying to conceive. So yeah, it was really transformative for me in the sense of noticing where I could go with my self-pleasure and noticing like how I could take it to a more, like the word that comes to my mind is like a more sacred place for me. Because I had like a sacred sexuality practice, and I was in like the tantra space at the time, and I was doing all these workshops, and no one was talking about what I was doing. And I was like, well, this is, you know, it felt very personal to me. And it's something that although I don't necessarily instruct guys specifically to do that, I will encourage guys to get out into nature and to go do some self-pleasuring outdoors if it's appropriate, right? To do some at night versus during the day and notice the differences there, what resonates with them a bit more. You know, I'll share with them that my personal practice was to ejaculate once a month on the full moon. And they go, oh shit, wow, I never even thought about that, you know? And it kind of like things open a kind of a spark to them, and they're like, oh, I can be more intentional about when I choose to ejaculate or how often I choose. So I use it more as like a way to kind of share my own lived experience and offer some sort of like, you know, opening of the door, so to speak, to guys to think a little bit more deeply about their own experiences rather than say, you should be doing this. That's the first thing I share. Is like, it was similar 1 month ejaculation practice on the full moon. That was quite interesting to me. And someone who was like familiar with Taoist practices or something said that you shouldn't be doing it on the full moon. Well, they said something to the effect of like, I'm doing it wrong by syncing up with the full moon and not the new moon. And they were like very adamant about it. And I was just like, shut up. I know. They were like really trying to shut it down. It was very interesting. So yeah, that's the first thing. And I really resonate with that, man. The other thing that you've shared is, So I've explored not only like sex and intercourse with partners, but also self-pleasure with various types of psychedelics as well. Probably not the same extent. I haven't had an opportunity to do a self-pleasure practice with ayahuasca, but definitely with mushrooms, peyote, San Pedro, psilocybin is obviously, you know, mushrooms. I've had both plant matter and I've had psilocybin tincture as well. And the differences has been interesting to me. Same thing with LSD. We've not had a chance to get my hands on 2CB, unfortunately, but we had N-Bohm for a little while here in Australia, and that was a wild ride. And obviously with alcohol and different spirits, you know, I like the idea of using the term spirits to talk about alcohol, because they're all made from plants at the end of the day. And so, you know, there's different spirits that come through the different types of alcohol. But I've learned a lot, and I've had some really intense experiences, full body, you know, sexual experiences. I remember an experience I had on LSD where I felt this like orgasmic wave through my body. Like it started at the tip of my tongue, went down my body and back up, and I could feel, you know, yeah, like this wave through my body. It wasn't full bodied in the sense that it all happened at the same time, but it very much felt almost like, you know, Reichian, like the segments that he talks about in the body that you de-armor. It kind of felt like this, you know, segmental, you know, sequential kind of movement through our body. It was very intense and very pleasurable. But to finally get to where you're talking about like the purging, and I think you said the karma torching practice, I have not done anything like that. And I don't necessarily instruct guys. I probably, to be totally honest with you, Tyson, don't lean towards the energetic esoteric practices as much as I maybe used to. And so a lot of the practices that I do with guys today don't go down that route. I'm very happy to hold space for a guy who's exploring that, but I don't teach it. And so what you're describing, that kind of energetic clearing, I have my own little energetic clearing practices, but I haven't done something specifically or to the extent that you might be describing with regards to like the releasing of old traumatic energetic experiences of pornography and relationships. So that's quite fascinating to me.
Yeah. And if you're out there and you're listening to this, you don't have to go into torching karma straight with masturbation. Like, I always start with massage guns with men. I think this is the most underrated tool for cleaning your energetic body and your emotional body. You turn that thing on and you just start massaging your arm or, you know, your legs, your inside of your thighs, your butt, and even the perineum. That's really like a lot, like that spot. If you just, you just open the throat and just allow that energy to come out, you would be shocked at sometimes how much energy is located in certain parts of the body. And so I take a lot of mushrooms. And so when I take mushrooms, I'll basically do an energetic clearing on my system. And that's one of the things that I do coach and teach. And it is something that I'm going to be like creating an actual product for, because it's super, super helpful for men, especially if men are in the journey with, let's say, pornography or sex in a way that it doesn't feel good to them. And they're like, I just feel so yucky. I want to get this out of me. I don't know how to get it out. And some men are that way. And I say, okay, this is a good tool, because we can only do so much with the mind and the talking. You also can give yourself permission to clear your energetic body out. Would I classify that as esoteric? Like, I went to India. I lived in Southeast Asia. I get what you're saying. I've studied the occult. Like, I'm more Irish Scottish as well. So I'm kind of in the same, it's interesting that you and I both have moon practices. You're the first person that I know that's another man who also has a moon practice that I didn't actually inspire them to do, you know, so that's, it's kind of fascinating. But what I'll say is I think in general, we are just made of light and we're made of, you know, just energetics. And I think that the more you do psilocybin and you go inward, the more you start to see like, oh, I have fractaled energy that doesn't feel good anymore. I want to like move. I want to like release that. There's no reason for it to be in my system anymore.
Talk to me about massage guns. What is it specifically about massage guns that you prefer or that you think is beneficial for this practice?
Have you ever worked with a massage gun at all?
I have one. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I notice is that especially for men who think their way to orgasm or they have a difficulty in feeling, massage guns are an incredible way to expedite the process of actually feeling something. And so if you're just hand to cock kind of man and you're not really looking at your whole body as in a full erotic zone, then doing a full body massage before you move into your masturbation practice is incredible for opening up your whole system so that you feel more than just the ejaculation going right out your cock. You actually start to move it. I teach men a lot of cat-cow movements, right? Opening up the spine, because if we don't have that spine to be able to roll, then we can't fully embrace the orgasmic wave that can move through the tissues and through the energy centers. So that would be the main thing. But also the back of the head, the vagus nerve, right? It's also about parasympathetic. A lot of men, when they're masturbating, they're just like, you know, white knuckling it and they're just going really fast. And so when you do, if you have one hand on your cock and you have a massage gun on the vagus nerve and you're breathing slowly, you can slow it way down, right? So from my experience with playing around with mindful masturbation, of course I can rev the engine. I can literally bucket out 30 minutes of energy at like full speed, or I can turn it way, way, way down. It's like one finger, very slow, very gentle, and be in a very parasympathetic experience too. One of the things that I've noticed with the mirror work, because you mentioned the mirror work, one of the things that because I think this is an important thing, is I got the feedback in a past relationship, and basically she goes, where do you go? Like when you ejaculate, like you're gone. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I have no idea. She's like, well, what happens? You just close your eyes and you're just gone. I was like, oh, I'm, you know, and I felt a little defensive, but I also felt curious. And so what I started to realize is that when you do mirror work masturbation, you can actually bring yourself in a parasympathetic state, very, very gentle, into a climax, but you have your eyes open and you're actually holding your own eye contact. And as you do that, you're training yourself and you're teaching yourself simultaneously how to be present with your orgasmic experience, but also present with your future partner or your current partner, depending upon what your situation is.
Yeah,
so I find that mirrors are just unbelievable for that particular like self regulation and showing up like how. And the other thing with it though, this is the tricky part, because a lot of men have a lot of body shame, right? It's not just a woman thing, like we're constantly harping on ourselves. But I've noticed that as I did my mirror work practices over 3 years, I was showing up to those experiences and I was working out more. I was, you know, as I was coming into the mirror, each time I was like, wow, I'm feeling better. I'm doing more cold plunging. I'm working out more and I'm actually liking what I see. And it developed into a self-esteem, a self-worth. And I also started to realize that by doing it with myself, I wasn't outsourcing my feminine to the external, meaning I wasn't outsourcing that to a woman to make me feel better. And that felt very empowering to come back into like, okay, I'm integrating the masculine and feminine within, even though I'm just holding my own eye contact here. But the yin and the yang is here inside of me. It's in her too, but I'm not outsourcing that. So that was the other piece that the mirror work really opened up for me that I had no idea was going to open.
Oh, that's really beautiful, man. And I really appreciate the curiosity that you had about that feedback that you received from that partner. Something, I'm not sure if you've come across this practice. This is a practice that was taught to me by Joseph Kramer, and he's got a whole modality around this, as a matter of fact. But one of the things that I've implemented it for is to help guys on that transition path of mindless masturbation to mindful masturbation is what Kramer calls the pendulum. And the pendulum involves a mirror, which is why I bring it up. And it involves pornography. And you know, one of the things that you know we spoke about before is like a lot of guys will find it really difficult to disconnect from an external stimulus because that's what we've been doing for so long, right? So one of the ways of helping them do that that I have implemented from this pendulum practice is, you know, watch a couple of minutes of porn and, you know, be standing up and be like, you know, in your body rather than just sedentary and sitting down and stationary. That's kind of what you know, is encouraged. And watch a couple of minutes of porn. And again, be mindful about the porn that you're choosing. Don't, you know, choose the stuff that's going to be really, you know, negative in terms of the messages and the energy that it's transmitting to you. Because porn's really good at building arousal, right? And especially if it's something that you've done for a long period of time, it's going to probably be quite easy for you to like notice that arousal quite quickly. And then after a couple of minutes, pause the porn, turn away from it and look in the mirror and play with that arousal that you've started to like that has been built in your body, right? So it's a way of transitioning from like being solely reliant on the porn to like, okay, I'm going to use the porn now as a tool to build the arousal so that I can step away from it and look in the mirror and start to work with it. And what typically, you know, what typically I'll say to guys is when this is very new to you, you'll probably notice that after a couple of minutes in the mirror, you'll struggle to feel things. The arousal that had the porn built for you, if you've not got a lot of, you know, embodiment under your belt, will start to die down. That's okay. That's fine. We're transitioning here. So go back to the porn for a couple of minutes. Do, you know, what porn does best. Allow it to build that arousal back up so you notice it in your body. Then pause it, turn away from it, turn back to the mirror for a couple of minutes. And the intention then is over time, minimize the amount of time that you're spending going back to the porn and maximize the amount of time that you're spending in front of the mirror with the sensations until you eventually don't need the porn at all and you're solely just in front of the mirror. So in terms of like giving guys structure and like practice to help go from one, you know, space of mindlessness to mindfulness, that's something that I've employed a bit. I'm curious if that is something that you've come across in your work or if you do something similar.
I love the idea. I haven't taught it that way, but I think that's a really good way to transition. You can, in your mindful masturbation practice, you can record yourself. And so what I would recommend as an alternative to that would be to get aroused. I mean, if you do need to use porn in the beginning, go for it, but get yourself aroused and then you can actually record yourself. Then you have the mirror, then you actually have the ability to go back and forth between yourself and the mirror. So then you're actually learning to be with your own experience as opposed to something that you're consuming external, because you're actually now connecting to yourself as a lover and how you're showing up. And so I would say that that would be maybe the next step, which would be porn, mirror, and then porn, mirror, and then record, mirror, and then going back to your own stuff. And I think that would be the best transition to get somebody to fully embrace a full body experience.
I like that, man. Do you have many guys have a resistance to recording themselves?
I've had a handful that have done it, but it is an edge. I mean, it's a fucking edge for sure, because they're like, whoa, what are you talking about? Like, I'm going to get aroused by looking at myself? What is that about? And I'm like, here's the thing. If you're looking at something else, you're getting aroused by something else, what would it look like for you to get aroused through yourself? Like, how does that develop your own self-love, your own self-care, your own self-respect, your own self-esteem? And I think that there's a direct correlation to that. Because if you look at yourself and you think, oh, I can't get aroused by myself. Well, then are you bringing that kind of energy to the bedroom? Like, is that keeping you from bidding from connection from somebody else? Is that interfering with your capacity to be in connection, right? So I think it's a good thought experiment, and it works for me, but it certainly is an edge for most, is my take.
Yeah, and it's reminded me of like my friend Danny, who he likes to say like one of the greatest philosophical questions of our time is, if there was an exact clone of you, would you have sex with your clone?
Yeah, good point.
How do you feel about that? You know, like, and just unpacking, like, it sounds like a bit of a joke question, and sometimes it is framed as a bit of a joke question, but like the underlying philosophy of like, well, you know, are you aroused by your own body? Are you like, you know, is it, you have sex with yourself anyway when you do some masturbation? So this is, you know, it's just an interesting little thing. And the way that Daddy, as an Australian dude, just likes to talk about it is just funny to me. And I thought you'd appreciate that question.
Well. I think it's great because just to imagine that helps you to get in touch with where are you out of integrity, and or where are you really critical about your, like, the way that you're looking at yourself, and can you walk into the mirror and can you look at yourself in the eyes and can you, like, do you say I love you, or do you look at yourself in a critical way? Do you look at your body and do you shame yourself, and do you like talk shit, right? So I think that what he's getting at, in a funny way but in a serious way, it's like, this is self-love practice when you imagine those types of things, right?
Totally, man, totally.
Yeah, and then the other piece to this is, when you do your release, however that looks like for you, can you stay for a moment? Do you allow yourself to actually have your pleasure? Because everybody's taking away our pleasure and we rush, and so satiate, be in the moment. And then from that moment, depending upon how that looks, bring that back over into a practice where you actually then sit with yourself. And whether that's under the moon or whether that's in just a meditation, close your eyes and breathe, and then use the root of the body to fill back up your centers and fill back up your energetic body, because, you know, something has gone out, and that's a lot of energy, that's a lot of life force. So go ahead and fill up yourself again. And then from that place, begin the process of listening, right? So for me, it was, instead of thinking, what's my fucking purpose in ego, I started to flip it. Like, what is the planet asking of me? What are men asking of me? What are men needing? What are their struggles? And as I would listen, I would then be able to come out of those meditations and I'd be able to build my business from that place. And so I would get incredible ideas, incredible insight, which would create the content and the offerings that I was making. And I was able to hear differently than thinking my way, because there was enough spaciousness in my system from the orgasm that I was able to have a more ecological consciousness to it. I was able to hear the moon speaking. I was able to hear the trees. I was able to connect myself into the non-dual experience, as opposed to being so centrally egoically focused. And that's kind of how I built my business and my practice. And from those, what I call sex magic states, you know, from the mindful masturbation practice.
So that's so amazing to hear, man. And it reminds me of one of my clients who I'm working with at the moment. He is a musician, amongst other things, and he hasn't done a lot of like playing music for a little while. And so we talked about that period of time post-ejaculation where, you know, there's some softness and some surrender and some vulnerability. And if you want to frame it, maybe there's even some femininity there, right, with regards to that yin space. And one of the things that he noticed as he started to do a post-ejaculation practice of like surrendering and noticing is a lot of creativity started to surface in those moments. And he started to like want to play his guitar and sing and like be expressive and creative in those post-ejaculation spaces. And he says the first time he's really felt that urge and that like creative spark in his, you know, in his life with regards to music, yeah, in that sense. And so it was really fascinating to see like he's using where that practice for him manifested as you're talking about creating business. He's like, you know, he's found that it's helpful for him creating music. And I can't advocate enough for like post ejaculation like reverence. One of the things that I hear so often from guys is, you know, they're jerking off into the toilet or into a tissue or into a paper towel or into the bin, and it's just like wipe their hands and then they're done, right? And it's like go back to bed or back to their life or whatever it might be. And there's no connection to, you know, this quote unquote sacred fluids, right? Or there's just no like acknowledgement of that like post ejaculation space. And it's one of the most profound things that I have seen in the guys that I work with, like to really pay attention to that space, because most guys have never done it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's a weird statistic that you'll maybe find interesting. I had this curiosity, how much life force is just going into nothing. Like, let's just say pornography is more into the tissue or into the toilet. I did the calculation, and the top 20 websites in the world are in America. Five of them are porn, and they get 6.35 billion views a month. And I said, okay, well, probably not fully. So I said 5 billion of those are probably ejaculations, because some of it's women, some of them they're not, you know. So I did the calculation, and if it's approximately a tablespoon of semen, that's one Olympic-sized pool every single day that's just going into nothing. And so my whole thing is like, okay, that's a lot, but what if we could actually have that into a mindful masturbation? Like, what amount of energy, if we were to take all that ejaculation, and then we were to create from it, right? We were to take that and mindfully do it, and then we were to build music and fucking make the world better and make art and make love and, you know, and make businesses and have ecological consciousness. And so, like, that's why when I think about the pornography thing, I'm like, okay, well, do we have a porn problem? I don't really give a fuck if we do or we don't, but there's a lot of energy going into nothing. And I just want to, like, call awareness to that. And that's my whole thing. So,
Yeah, I love that the math that went into that, man. That's funny and pertinent as well. I sincerely appreciate it. But the other thing that I wanted to touch on this with you was, I know you just pulled out a massage gun before, and I'm looking at my table and I have like a big wand vibrator. And I'm curious if you have experimented with vibration as opposed to massage pulsation on like the body and like moving it around. Because these were originally, these wand vibrators, like the Hitachi, the one that came out of Japan in the 1970s, were body massages, was how they were marketed to begin with. And so I'm curious if you've had an exploration of like a wand massager around the body as opposed to a massage gun.
No, I haven't. But I mean, these massage guns, it basically is, it is like a vibrator. So I don't know what the difference between the Hitachi is and this one. But I mean, this one, it definitely creates that vibrational experience. Yeah. But I don't know if it, that one might be a little bit more fine-tuned, I would assume. It's probably a little bit better. But here's one thing that is probably something that you don't know about, or you haven't, you know, probably played around with, is, I'll just show it to you. Have you ever used a TENS unit or a stim machine? Have you ever used those?
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I have, I'll tell you right now, man, before you go any further, I've used a TENS machine where I've placed one node on my perineum and one on my frenulum and explored TENS through the shaft of my penis. I'm happy to share that. I've used it across, you know, different parts of my body as well. So I'm relatively familiar with the TENS machine and using it for different purposes than what it maybe was designed for. Yes.
So then what you'll need to do then is I'm going to show you this one here. I'm going to pull it up, but what you'll need to do then is to get the anal probe. The anal probe, they have it for the TENS units, and that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other monkey. But this right here is a big machine, and it's what it is though, is it's a massager. So basically I do body work. I call it bioelectric body work, but I call it Soma Psychedelic. That's my brand. So when people go on the table, two paddles go on the client with the lotion, and then the other two paddles go onto the ground, and then you put your foot on the paddles, and then the energy actually travels through your entire body and into your hands. So as you touch the client, creates like an avatar, like you're literally linked up with them, and you basically go through their entire nervous system and you help them to move out whatever doesn't serve them anymore or integrate what needs to be integrated. And so when I look at IFS, of course, most people think parts are just in the mind, but we know that parts are not, they're in the body. And when you go and you touch an organ and the guy goes, oh my gosh, this is a 7-year-old memory, or this is an injury from when I was 13, or, oh, this is my grandmother's Holocaust memories. Like, we're moving through the system and we're actually tracking and figuring out what's actually going on. And the reason why I share all this, because this might be interesting to you, is that you can use these also with your partner. You can actually go into clear and or into the, you know, into the yoni or into the anus. And it's unbelievable for any of that kind of stuff. So you can just play around with that. If you want to get real crazy, you can actually take it. I've never tried this, but this is something that this thing could do, and you could actually put two pads on you. You could put two pads on you and two pads on your partner, and then you could make love, and you could literally have your penis be like an electrical light. Yeah.
Divining rod. Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating, man. So I appreciate the invitation to explore a bit beyond what I've got. Look, I'm mindful of time, man. There's so many other things that I want to speak to you about, but we've hit the hour mark, and I'm thinking we might have to go for round three, because there's heaps of the rabbit holes that we haven't gone down. I'd love to speak to you about low intensity shockwave therapy as well, and what your thoughts are on that, if you've been exploring it, something that I've been interested in looking into. But Anyway, man, I'm excited to keep on chatting with you at a later point, dude. I do have to have a hard stop and go jump onto another call, but it's exciting and inspiring to speak to you about stuff that we share so much, you know, resonance and similarity with, in terms of, you know, exploring pleasure, helping guys kind of unpack it, and giving them some practical advice for going forward. So it's just always a pleasure, dude. And I'm just super stoked that you were willing to jump on again and have a chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cam. Thanks for having me.
No worries, man. I'll talk to you soon and we'll tee up number 3.
Okay. Sound good.
Cheers, brother. Bye.
All right. Peace.